the money they can for camp. Just a couple of reminders for things coming up. We have the 63rd anniversary of the church on the 17th of November with Brother LeBeau. Will be with us that morning and night, singing and preaching for us. And then on the 18th will be the final Discovery Club presentation for the year. And if I'm not mistaken, I am mistaken. When's Christmas? 25th? It's on a Wednesday. The Sunday before Christmas will be our candlelight service. And the Christmas play will be that night as well. So that's coming up. There'll be more put in the bulletin about all that. For sure, we'll be in 1 Corinthians when we do get in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians. It's good to see them kids with all that life. I wish I could siphon some out sometimes. Well, they was coming on that bus a while ago. Boy, there was three of them. Like, had to almost pull over. Just about. Boy, they were giving me the go at it. But glad they're here. They could be at home getting in trouble. Home alone. It's good that they know somebody cares about them. And glad they're here. I've been praying about something since Tuesday night. I went to a revival Tuesday night. Brother Rodney Rowe down at South St. Cloud Missionary Baptist is having a revival. It's supposed to have just been a two-day meeting. But Tuesday they said they're going to go through Friday. Brother Watson preached a good message when I was there on Tuesday night. And, of course, we can't be there tonight. And I looked on the calendar. We have visitation scheduled tomorrow and Saturday. So if you'll help me out and support Brother Rowe tomorrow night. It was a real good meeting. I enjoyed it. They're on corner of Tennessee and 10th Street. St. Cloud Missionary Baptist Church having a revival down there. So we won't have visitation tomorrow, but it was supposed to be last Thursday. We moved it because of some conflict. But I think the Lord have us go support them if we can. They've come to our meetings. And so let's go down tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, if you can make it at that meeting. And then Saturday we'll just pick up visitation at 9:45 as scheduled. We will not have it tomorrow night. Okay, we'll be going to a revival if you are available. It'd be a blessing to them. They had a really good crowd. And Brother Rowe has been needing some encouragement, and he was encouraged Friday night, Tuesday night. And you know, it's going to get towards the end, and some folks may not be able to do it tomorrow night. So the Lord laid that on my heart, and if you're available tomorrow night, instead of let's go on visitation, let's meet down at St. Cloud Missionary Baptist Church on 10th and Tennessee, 7 o'clock, and have a time of revival down there with them, Brother Watson. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. We started this verse last week, and we got down to verse number 2 or 3, kind of a little bit on 3 side. But we'll pick up reading on chapter 9, verse number 1. We'll read down to verse 14 and see if we can't get to 14 in a matter of 20, 25 minutes. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless am I to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this: Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Are I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charge? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or say not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of an ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care of for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that plough should plough in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap of your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that they which minister unto the holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Now, I told you last week that we have been studying the liberties of Christianity, the liberties of a Christian. Now, to be quite honest with you, if we had not been going verse by verse, chapter by chapter, I would not have come to this portion of Scripture and just said, well, I think I'm going to preach it, because some people may take it in the wrong manner. But because we have been going verse by verse, chapter by chapter, it'd be kind of foolish for me to skip over it, because it's dealing with the church caring for the man of God. And it's a big argument that has been throughout the ages, whether or not a preacher that preach and serves and watches over the flock should be cared for by the church where he is the pastor over. And so Paul was questioned about that. Verse 3, he says, mine answer to them that do examine me is this. And remember last week, he went back and said, hey, I have an identity. I am an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. I meet the qualifications. You know, there were some qualifications of being an apostle. And so he says I am identified with Christ. I am an apostle. I have seen Jesus Christ, our Lord, and ye are my work in the Lord. So he said, I've labored in you. My identity is that I labor for you and over you. And so there he says, this is my evidence. You are my work. So he had identity. He had evidence. You know, it's kind of like if you had a business and you had 4, 5, 6 workers. Oh, I'll tell you like this. I heard this example today. Listening to preaching this afternoon was a good example, and I didn't even realize it would fit for what I'm talking about. There was a man hired by the state, you know, and his job was, only job he had was to put the yellow lines down the middle of the fresh highways, the interstates. That's all his job was. He had no other job. Put the lines. They hired him. Gave him instructions, showed him what he could do, gave him the materials, and put him to work. The first day, he did 10 miles of labor. I mean, 10 miles of stripe. I mean, and the boss said, wow, we ain't never had a worker that's ever put 10 miles of yellow stripe down in one day. Next day, 7 miles. He said, well, you know, that's still above average. The next day, he only got 3 miles done. So the boss said, he's got that job. He thinks he's covered. He did a little work and did 10 miles, 3 miles. What's he going to do tomorrow? 1 mile. He said, hey, foreman, call him in. We're going to have a talk. So he called him in and said, listen, we hired you, you had the qualification. The first day you did a good job, 10 miles of stripe. That was excellent. I thought, man, alive, you'll have this job wrapped up in no time. Then the next day it was 7, and I was okay with 7. But yesterday you only did 3. He said, you're going to have to explain to me what the problem is. He said, sir, here's the problem. That paint bucket's getting further and further away. Leaving it back, traveling. Hard at work. Sometimes we got to keep the bucket close to us. And I'm telling you, sometimes we got to realize that our bucket of paint is a fresh relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ daily. And Paul said, look, you are my laborer. You're my evidence. It doesn't matter if somebody else don't think I'm an apostle. You know my labor. You know who I am. And so it's been a long, drawn-out discussion since this day. Should a man of God be cared for by the church where he is pastored at? And I'm telling you, church, last week when Brother David came and asked me could he have the pulpit and leave, I said, Lord, have mercy. No, not tonight. I was supposed to get to this last week. I made those 3 verses stretch. It was good. I liked it. And I said, Lord, but what am I going to do this week? Well, we're just going to have to go ahead and cover it. Church, you've been very good to me and my family. You've been very faithful to care for us, and I do appreciate it. So this is not to bang you over the head. But what if you were to move to a church where they did not care for the man of God? You have to have scriptural foundation where you can say, take the Bible and say, look, but here they did it in the Bible, and so maybe we should have this discussion. So it's knowledge that you can carry with you. So first thing I'd like you to see is that in verse 7, when Paul began to defend this thought of caring for the man of God, he defended it by custom. Look in verse 7. He said, who goeth to warfare any time at his own charge? How many soldiers you know just pack up their gears, buy their own guns, their own bullets, buy their own uniform? He said, what soldier would do such? He defends it by custom. He said, who planteth the vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not the milk of the flock? So he begins to defend it by custom. Now, soldiers furnished a gun, a uniform, equipment. He has wages paid. We know that to be so because the Lord said this to the military. He said, be content with your wages. Did he not tell that to the Romans in the New Testament? Be content with your wages. So they got a wage. And so the farmer, think about the farmer. He plants and tends and vines and works and cultivates. Do you think at the end of the harvest, when the harvest happens, he doesn't partake of that? Well, sure he does. Sure he does. And his shepherd. Got a shepherd out there with his flock. I don't know if sheep, whether it's cows. It'd be like a dairy farmer. You know, back in the old day, today we just go to Publix or wherever and we buy some milk. But years ago, they had a man that he would get up in the morning early, milk cow, get all the milk in a jug, and he'd make his delivery. He'd have some family members making cheese, and they'd have the cheese ready, and he would go around, and he would make his delivery. It'd be like him telling his wife and kids, hey, look, I know y'all fed them cows. I know that you labored and worked with me, and you milked cows, you made cheese, but hey, you can't eat of that. Paul first defended the fact that, hey, men of God should be cared for by custom. Every instant he gave, the soldier didn't pay his own wage. Equipment was prepared for him. The farmer worked the harvest, the garden, and ate of the garden. The shepherd milked and whatever, ate of that. Then he defends it by the law. Look in verse 8. Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses that thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for the oxen? So he defends it by the law. Back over in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse number 4, that's where he got that scripture from. It says this, "Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn." So he defends it first by custom. Then he goes back to the law and said, look, hey, God said that we're not to muzzle the ox as he's grinding out the corn. What would happen? They'd grind. There'd be a little corn there, and the oxen would be mowing and eating along and going around. Hey, the thing about it was, in every incident, listen, an ox works, doesn't he? A soldier works, doesn't he? A farmer works, doesn't he? A shepherd works. So there's two things. Say, hey, if he works, you care for him. Now, I'm going to tell you, there have been some men of God, I'm ashamed of them. They've took advantage of folks. They took advantage of good folks and good churches. Look at the TV events. Look at the bakers and how things went out there. Air-conditioned dog houses, things like that. That's not what it's talking about. But in every instance, when Paul defended the fact that you should care for him, every example he used was people of labor and people of work. I dare say to you that the office of pastor is an office of work and labor. It's an immolation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I didn't come to be waited upon. I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. So he defends it by the law. And he takes care of it. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6 says this, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Communicate. That means if you go back and look at one of the definitions of communicate is it means to give in a financial way. To communicate. Remember, Paul said, no other church has communicated me but you only. He wasn't talking about a letter. He was talking about financial help there. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. If you would, flip over there real quick. Flip 1 Timothy chapter number 5. Hold your place there in 1 Corinthians. We're coming right back. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5, 17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. So Paul defends it with the custom. He defends it with the fact that the law says this is what you should do. And then in verse number 12, back in 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he defends it with precedence. There was a precedent that was set out and set forth. There in verse number 12, it says, if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Flip over to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter 4. If you would, Philippians chapter number 4. And verse number 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once again unto my necessities. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Second Corinthians 11 and verse number 8. I tell you, when Paul began to defend this, he made sure that he had enough scripture to back up what he was teaching. And that's a good way to live, by the way, is that we need to live by scripture. It's given to us as an example. And so the precedent was set, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 8. The Bible says there, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. That's what Paul said. Now sometimes a church is just getting started, or they go through a financial hardship. Maybe something wicked happens, like people get carnal and they decide they want to leave and split and take people with them. I remember one time in my home church in Louisiana, when my pastor had first been there about 5-7 years, there was a couple of families that decided that the preaching of the Word of God was a little too thick and a little too hard, and they decided that they thought they needed another preacher, perhaps one that they could tell what to preach, how to preach, when to preach. But I tell you, we need the Word of God presented to us as we are. And so this is what they started to do. They quit tithing, quit giving. And both of them, both families, they got to talking around, and they both had keys. What they'd do, they'd come up there to the church after nobody was around. They'd turn the air conditioners on full blast. They'd turn all the lights on. They'd turn the water on, and they'd run up all the bills. I mean, it was bad. I mean, real bad, thinking that they would get rid of Pastor Shep's. So the organizing church of that organized our church over in near Alexandria, he got wind of it, and he got together and he got a few of the churches to start sending offerings over there to cover the bills. And this is what Paul said. I've robbed other churches that I could do you service. We ought to keep our ear open, eye open. There could be a time that there's a church that we know of that's hurting, and we can help them and be careful. So if Paul said, I defend this here fact that the men of God should be cared for by the custom of the land. I defend it by the law. I defend it by precedence. Look at verse 13 back over there. Verse 13, he says this, do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar, the partakers with the altar, he defended by the priesthood. He said, look back at the temple. Look how things went there. In verse 13, there he says, the priests in the tabernacle, the temple, hey, they didn't have a job out there. Their job, their support came from with inside the holy things that were offered inside the temple there at God. And so if you want some verses to go read on your own, I'm not going to read these verses for lack of time, but in Numbers chapter 18, verses 8 through 32, it shows that in there. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 14. Leviticus chapter 7, verse 36. Leviticus chapter 27, 6 through 33. All of those verses show where the priests and the workers at the temple were cared for by the offerings that came in through the temple. So he defends it by the priesthood. All kind of defense there. But then he didn't stop there. Look at verse 14. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. He defends it by the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, where did that happen? Look back over in Luke. We just went over that scripture not too long ago, a couple of Sundays back, Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter number 10 and verse 7. He was sending some folks out and telling them to go and to preach the gospel. And verse Luke chapter number 10 and verse number 7. Luke 10 and verse 7, the Bible says there, and in the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house, and unto whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. They were cared for. They was taken care of. Flip back over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 10. The Bible says there, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. He was cared for. And this was the example when he was sending out those disciples and sending them out, the 70, to go about and go abroad. And so he defends that through custom, through law, through precedence, through priesthood examples, through the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what happens if, God forbid, you're transferred or go and you move to another state and this becomes a question? What happens in that situation? There's no need for fussing and fighting. Listen, the man of God, God will care for him and take care of him. No need to get in a fist fight and throw down and cause a ruckus. But what we need to do is like Paul. Paul didn't start a fight in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. He said in verse 3, mine answer to them that do examine me is this. And what did he do? He took example throughout Scripture and began to show them. The best thing that we can do to win any battle that is spiritual is use that which is spiritual. Because you get upset, you get angry, the wrath of God, a man worketh not the righteousness of God. What happens? This one gets a group, that one gets a group, and then they begin to fight, begin to fuss, and begin to say this. And listen, give them the example of the Scripture. The labor's worth his hire. The Bible says not to muzzle the ox. I often wonder why the Lord would use an ox for that. But then you get to studying the ox. Ox is very strong, very meek, mild. And you know what he does? He just stays at it. Long as he's fed. Long as he's cared for. And I'm telling you, church, if you are transferred, listen, our church takes very good care of us, and I'm very thankful. But if you hear about it, you need to stand up for the man of God, because usually he's not going to say nothing. He's just not. He's not going to do it. He's not going to go and say, listen, I need a raise. It's not going to happen. But you, the people of God, if he's cared for and watched over, and he's a laborer, he works, and he presents himself for it and says, hey, I know this. Paul said this in chapter 9. This is those that examine me, this is what I say. And then he gave example. Take them to this passage of Scripture and say, hey. And say, well, what if they won't hear it? That's between them and the Lord. Is your vengeance or your anger greater than the power of God? No. You present the argument, back off and let the Lord do the work. Let the Lord do the work. So there's those that do say, no, you shouldn't care for them. They should just have a regular job like everybody else. If you go to the example in the book of Acts, there was a fuss that took place in chapter 6 about some of the ladies not being cared for in the Grecian household. And this was the answer of the apostles there. Search out some godly, God-honoring, full of the Holy Spirit, faithful men. Let them serve and wait over the tables. It's not good that we should leave the Word of God in prayer. It's not good. And that was the answer. See, it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. And we work together, labor together. I'm going to tell you, many hands. Y'all remember the first Christmas was here, and we used to have the garlands up there. And it about maybe 12, 15 of us got, man, it took us a long time to get this thing decorated. You remember last Christmas? We labored together. Man, it was up. Beautiful. Made some mistakes, and we had to come back and redo it. Then we got ready to put it up. I mean, it just went up, put away, it's organized back there. What happened? Laboring together. working together. You know, it's a shame in a church when if you find a church like this, and a lot of them are, probably the majority, where you have a church of 110 does all the work. That ain't good. You have a church of 1,000 and 100 does all the work. That's not good. The Bible says we're fitly framed together. Fitly framed. Be kind of like, what would happen if your ankle just went out on you? Just went out and the rest of the body, it would be painful, and the rest of the body would have to adjust, wouldn't it? And he'd get slow. You couldn't run. You couldn't get up and go. Well, whenever the ankle of the church goes out, it hinders. Listen, the work of the Lord's going to keep going. It's going to keep going. But it slows up. It slows up. So we understand, hey, this is just the way that God set it forth and how it would be done. And, and be just grateful that God allows us to be part of His ministry. The best relief I ever had is when I come to the realization that whenever I gave my tithes and offerings to the church, I was giving it unto the Lord. And He's far greater and far able to reconcile than I am. It just gave me peace. I just have all kind of peace when I do that. Let's stand to our feet, church.